This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You are now listening to Boys Next Door.
I am not the one, but 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 ain't calling me baby, 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 baby.
You think Beyonce eat ass? Beyonce gives me like classy lady, like she's not giving.
I don't really see Beyonce doing very much of anything. I kind of see her laying there. Like, she seems like she would lay there. Like, she got a couple quick little moves she do, and then she right back to the positions. Like, I think she has a staple set of shit. Like, but she's a dancer, too. So, dancers usually real good in bed.
I feel like she got some tricks. She been with the same man for 20 years. I mean, he did cheat on her.
See?
But they forgiven each other.
You never know. You never know. But I don't know. You think Jay-Z wants his ass ate, or you think Beyonce just takes control? What if she's like really dominant?
I don't think Beyonce eats ass, and I don't think Jay-Z wants his ass ate. But I also think they've been together for like over like 20 years or something like that. So it's just like, I mean,
you gotta eat
y'all
a little
should
ass.
Be doing something, you know.
You gotta eat a little ass sometime. That's the way you keep a nigga. Like, niggas like that little surprise here and there. Even if you don't fully commit to it, if you get a little taste of it here and there, they like, it wakes them back up, perks them back into the relationship. She's definitely a Gucci licker. She's a Gucci.
I'm wearing my Renaissance shades. If you are watching us on YouTube, this is a part of my Halloween costume. Halloween's over. Thank the Lord. Over that.
Did
shit.
You have fun?
I did.
That's
good. It was a lot.
Yeah, bitch, you want to do costume changes every other day.
Go on my Instagram and you guys will see I was Patrick Starr, but I was Patrick Starr going to the Renaissance concert. So
it
I
was
had
cool.
On. And by the end of the night, by the time me and Ricky got to the club, we both was like, bitch, this a lot. We too old for this. We falling over. We trying to put shit in the trunk because, you know, in Houston, they steal. And I don't want to be a part of.
I think you were telling a story about a lady kept walking back and forth when you were trying to park. And you thought she was going to break into your car.
Oh, it was a crackhead at a club that I didn't want to go to nowhere. That crackhead was my sign to go home. I sped off so fast. You could see the smoke from 20 miles away, probably, how fast I sped off and my tire splunt on that concrete because I was gone.
Okay, Fred Flintstone.
They said $40 into the $40.
For what?
I don't even remember what event it was. It was probably Labor Day weekend, I'm thinking.
Oh. Because
okay. it was something like, but you think I'm going to pay $40 to get in somebody's club when I want to go to no club? No way. No.
I feel like that's the time, like, when you go out, when you really don't even really feel like going fucking out, is the time you're kind of like, okay, bitch, the least inconvenience is going to make me turn this shipper back around. It takes one thing. Like, you pull up, you see they got a flyer for the night that you don't like. You said Lana Del Rey, I ain't coming. I know it's not till next Wednesday.
Don't let the line be long. Who? See? Bye. 10. My car ain't got no line.
10 people. Too many. Gotta go.
I'm finna use them little lines on that gas tank and take my ass home.
Okay.
You ain't gonna see me. The only lines I'm gonna see is the lines on the road. By the way, if you're planning on moving to Houston, there's one thing I want you to know. The roads are raggedy. They might not be paved. Well, they're not gonna be paved. And well, they're gonna be paved, they haven't been paved since they lost the Civil War. And two, they don't paint the lines on the roads. So you like a lot of places, like you're literally guessing. And don't let it be raining. Oh, you're fucked. You just really gotta follow the car in front of you and hope they doing right by the God.
I told you Texas is like a free reign state. There is anything that goes, you can do what you want, as long as you you can kill people too. Obviously, as long as you don't kill nobody, they don't care about that either. It's anything goes.
You just can't kill babies.
That's where we draw the line.
You can kill everybody else though.
Everybody else is free game. But the babies,
those niggers, those fags, they even let you kill dogs. They don't give a fuck about dogs down here. So many stray dogs on the south side. Girl, please. They don't give a fuck about none of that shit. East side, north side, anywhere where it's like a rural area outside of Houston, stray dogs, like cats. It's like, you guys are just insane.
Let me ask you a question I don't think I've ever asked. Do you regret moving to Houston?
No.
Okay. Why not?
I just don't really have regrets about much. I mean, now I do have some guilt associated with moving out here, but that's something totally different. But I don't have no regrets about moving out here. I feel like I did what I was supposed to do.
I always think about that. I always think about, like, let's say we both didn't relocate, or I always think about it myself, but if we didn't relocate, what would our lives look like compared to what they look like now? Like, who would we be compared to who we are now? I always think about that part of moving, because I feel like once you're, like, when you're moving, you're not only moving states, you're moving your entire being and who you are and what you're, like, safe and rooted in. You're moving it to wherever else you're going. And basically, you have a fresh start to really just do whatever. And I feel like my first couple years out here, I feel like I didn't take advantage of having a fresh start to really just rediscover myself and really just get to know myself and who I was in the process of it all. And so now I feel like, now I've been out here like 3 years, I feel like now I'm finally in the place of just being like, who am I now? What am I doing now? What's going on with me now? And who was I before compared to who I am now? Like, I don't have like past regret about anything, or like past regret about anything that I've done. But I think I'm really, really happy with who I am now after moving. So
I think I can honestly say, like, and I think we briefly talked about this because we were talking about something else on the last episode, but when I moved out here, it was really my first time living alone, because from the time I got my first apartment when I was 19, I had just turned 19, so I was 18 and I just got the apartment like a week after my birthday. I lived in that apartment for a couple months before my mama moved in, and my mama lived with me from 2015 all the way up until 2020. Mm-hmm. With like a break or two in between that, but like she lived with me most of that time. So I felt like when I got down here, I was finally living on my own, and I was totally isolated. I didn't have my sister house to go pull up on 20 minutes away. Like, I really was just down here dealing with myself a lot, and which led to a lot of depression in hindsight, because like being isolated is not good for the mind. But, you know, I also feel like because I was so isolated, I was able to, like, look inward a lot more. So I do know myself a lot better. I also tolerate a lot less, but I'm also a lot more lenient on a lot of other things. So it's just like, I think moving out of your city is, like, it can be beneficial. Get the words out. It can be beneficial for most people, I think.
I feel like you have to let it be beneficial, though. I feel like a lot of times people move and they try to drag a lot of their old shit to the new place with them. Like, that's why when I moved, I was kind of like, even though I moved with my ex, like, and that's the whole thing in itself. But I feel like I didn't really want to bring anything. I didn't want to take anything. I wanted really just to start over fresh. And on top of that, we was in one car. We had to drive the whole distance. Like, it wasn't that much going to fit anyway. So we had to be really cautious about what we picked. And I feel like now, like you said, like, living alone has really taught me more about myself than I've ever learned through somebody else or by someone else. I feel like being forced to just really just always reflect and self-reflect and just really get to know who you are and what you're about and shit like that without anybody else's influence is so beneficial to your overall progression. Because I feel like from a young age, we're kind of like molded and we're kind of like told to like what to do and how to be. And we're kind of influenced by like our non-chosen environment. And so I feel like once you move, if you're choosing by for yourself, you really get, like I said, you get a fresh start to really just be like, this is who I am now. I'm not a slut no more. My wholeness has been deleted. I am a whole new person. And so I feel like you can really just hit that CTRL to delete and call it one. And so that now I feel like I finally did that this year. And as we get closer to the end of the year, I'm kind of like, what have I done differently this year than I've done any other year? And I feel like that's the one thing I've done. I really just was able to like somehow just hit a switch and just be like, everything's new. Give yourself new chances. Give yourself new opportunity. Just grow. So I've been able to just like revel in my growth since I've moved.
That part about allowing it to be beneficial is very real, because when I first got here, like the first 5, 6, 7 months, I want to say, I moved in May of 2020. I didn't start feeling like I cared about this. I didn't start feeling like I was okay with living here until like November-ish. So that's like 7 months.
Yeah.
And then boom, my mama died the following month. So I was like, fucking hate it here. But the whole time I was here, like those first few months, I was like just comparing it to Chicago all the time. And I was, yeah. I was like, once I realized I was doing it, I was like, you're never good. Now, mind you, I'm still comparing shit to Chicago because in my eyes, it just don't get no better. Because I was like, y'all cannot seriously be living like this. Like, where's the sidewalks? Where are the lines in the road? Where is the transportation system? Anyway, I can go on a whole rant.
Yeah.
Because I got a list. I got a list for Houston now. But I also was just like, you know, you have to enjoy where you are in the moment. Because if you are... Okay, I don't want to get too deep. Because let me just say this. It also contributes to my depression a lot. I will say that, because I'm never like living like right now. In my head, it's 10 years from now all the time. And or it's 10 years ago. So that contributes to my like mental state a lot. So
I think you should listen to The Thing Is, this week they had a guest on there. I forgot her fucking name. But their conversation was so good. And it was really all about like, and I'm giving them a shout out because the thing.
And what is this? Is this a YouTube?
See, The Thing Is with Mandy B and Bridget Kelly.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. They have a podcast together. And one, their guests were just talking about how like we're always trying to compare the future to the past, and like we never really just allow ourselves to revel in the moment of where we are and just take it in for what it is. And so I feel like depression is really easy when you let like the past steal your joy from your present. And so it's really easy just to compare, especially if like you had it easier. Like I didn't have, like I feel like my childhood was easy. And so now that I am an adult, I feel like I'm trying to relearn all the lessons that I didn't learn as a child, but I'm also am able to really just handle those lessons a lot better than I think I would have at the time that I was supposed to handle them. I feel like I have the equipment necessary to really just take everything head on, but it's also just like, I'm always like, damn, I really wish I could have learned this earlier. I really wish I went about things differently when I was younger, or so forth and so on. And so now I'm really just like, trying to just get into a mental space of just being like, this is where I am now. I literally have the rest of my life to really just tackle whatever it is that comes my way. And literally if I fail, I failed before and I can really just dust myself off and try again. It's like the end all, like nothing's stopping today. Nothing's stopping today unless I stop today. And so I'm trying to just keep the motion of everything, of how I look at life and how I look at the progression of myself, just as a train on the track. Instead of like a fucking like metro stop, you know, like I don't want to, like I just want to keep moving.
What I will say is I've gotten much better at just like having more gratitude for the moments that I'm in. But it's a struggle. If I'm being totally honest, I didn't know this was gonna turn into the mental health episode, bitch. we gonna move this, on very soon.
This is what we do anyway.
But right, but if I'm being honest, like the last 2 or 3 months have been mentally exhausting for me. Like yeah. every day, I want to just like
jump.
Okay, so I just be like,
so I just here we go again. Like, here we go.
This is such an unserious program, but it's just like every I'm. It's one of those I've learned from. I remember having one specific bout of depression in my earlier 20s, and that's when I realized what depression was. And ever since then, I've just like, I'm acknowledging the fact now as a almost 30-year-old person that I've been depressed for a very long time, like probably since I was a teenager. I remember yeah. feeling these exact same ways as a kid. So it's like, it's just one of those things I'm always fighting with. So that's a, and I say that to say, I'm always reminding myself like, okay, you got out of it before, you'll get out of it again. You just need to fucking relax. You do have to go through your emotions sometimes, but you don't have to give up because it's gonna get better. It's gotten better before, you know. And it
always gets better eventually. I think the eventually part is the part that haunts.
That's the part, because also it's like you're not gonna be sad all the time. The same way you're not gonna be happy all the time. So if you're only chasing happiness all the time instead of just like being like what it is, you're gonna be more sad than not. I feel like you should just chase like being alive and not being like happy all the time, because it's not realistic.
I think that is such a good point. I feel like you have to like just be proud. Like, it's really easy to get down on yourself about where you're not instead of appreciating where you are. And so I feel like it's just one of those things where I feel like we're our own thieves of our joy a lot of times. Like, we come in and we wreck shit so easy for ourselves, no matter what's going on, no matter what it is. It's like, I feel like it's a saying, like, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I feel like it's very easy to get stuck in a pattern of waiting for that other shoe to drop instead of just being like, it hasn't dropped yet, I'm about to keep it pushing. It's like once you get in the habit of being like, okay, I'm a little bit too happy, let me step on back, something gonna give. Something always gives because you've allowed that energy to manifest and fester in you, and then it manifests itself into whatever the shoe drops and lands on. It's just, I think I might have mentioned this long, many, many, many episodes ago, the podcast, but I remember the last conversation I had with my ex was about this. And I had asked them, I was like, when was the last time you were happy? Just a blanket statement. And they told me, they were like, I honestly don't even remember. And in my head, I was like, so when I did this, when you were happy about this, when you were happy about this, so many other things. Like, I took it selfishly instead of taking it as they weren't in a place to receive that happiness that I thought they would be able to receive from me doing something that I felt they would enjoy. And so, but I wouldn't have been able to look at it that way if I didn't have the isolation and go through my own form of depression. A lot of times we don't really understand other people's mindset and other people's mentality towards shit if we haven't gone through it ourselves. It's a lot easier to judge and criticize other people's thought process if you have never been in the position to think like them or be in a position to think similar to a situation that they've gone through. And so it's just like, reach out to people, reach out to your loved ones, reach out to your friends, reach out to the people who are always making jokes, reach out to everybody and just like make sure that they're good. Even if they say they're fine, at least just make sure that you're there.
Mind your fucking business, bitch. Don't hit me up about nothing.
No, hit that bitch up first. But just make sure.
I ain't gonna do nothing but lie to you, so you might as well mind your business.
Yeah, and you know, if his fingers are typing too fast, you know he lying. So just make sure that you're aware of who the person that you're asking, that you're checking on is. And then go from there. It's just like, I feel like we should all just be a little more present in our present. And that's for other people, that's for ourselves in our present, other people in our present, relationships that we're presently in, intentions that we're present, like intentions for things that we're presently doing. Just like, just be present. And I feel like that's the hardest thing as you get older, is to be present. Because it's just like, child, I got bills. Child, I'm hungry. Child, I don't know how this is. Like, it's just like, listen, it's a lot. But it's just like, be present in where you are. And you said something earlier, you have to allow yourself to feel all these emotions. Once you start blocking emotions, that's when it builds up and it builds up and it builds up.
Now, I was telling one of my other best friends this, the hardest thing for me this year, because it's like a new thing for me, like I would say it started happening this year, is not, I hate that we're having such a serious conversation. I got these shades on.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's so bright in here.
I was looking at you with the glasses when I was out. I was just like, bitch.
This is so unserious.
So unserious.
I'm learning to not intellectualize my emotions and stop there. Like, I'll just be like, oh, I'm sad right now. And then I'll move on. Instead of be like, oh, I'm sad right now. And then, like, analyze why I'm sad. Be sad. Figure it out. Understand it. Talk to yourself. Work around it. You know what I'm saying? Me, I'm just like, oh, well, I feel like this. And then I'll just take that feeling like a baby and just sit you right here. Right. And then I just go on about my day. This year, I've been like, if I'm sad, if I'm mad, if I'm jealous, if I'm angry. That jealousy one been kicking my ass. No shade. Woo. I've been like, ooh, girl, you catch yourself now.
Jealousy is like that sneaker emotion that you be like, I don't care about that. Like, you like nonchalant, and then it'd be one thing to catch you. You be like, wait, hold on now, son. That's what it I signed like, up for.
Well, so now I really just be like, just say it. And I literally would have to say it out loud, because even just thinking it is not enough.
You gotta give
like,
it sometimes power.
Sometimes I have to say it out loud, and I'd be like, okay, I'm a little jealous because of such and such. And then once I say it, I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Process that. Why are you jealous? What do you want that this person has? You know what I'm saying? Like, so I've been doing that with all of my emotions this year. Yeah. And it's stressing me out.
It's hard. And that's something I had to practice too. Because I'm one of those people, like, on paper, I am really just like, happy, like unless you like really know me, then you know how like I'm very like multifaceted, like I'm hyper emotional, I'm all that. If you don't know me, you see me smiling, go about my day. But there's times where I'm just like, I'm not feeling it. I'm not happy. I'm sad. This XYZ is irritating me, so forth and so on. And I really have to like stop and just be like you said, what is going on? Why am I feeling this way? What is this a reflection of? And I like you kind of like I feel like unpacking your emotions yourself really is a gateway and a key to really just opening your whole body, like opening everything in you. Because once you get control of your emotions, and once you understand your emotions and understand where they're derived from, I feel like there's nothing else, anything that can be done that can really shake you, because you know the cause and effect of everything that's around you now. Like, of course, there's going to be different elements and different variables into all that shit, but once you have control of yourself, none of that shit can really move you too much, because you know how you can react to it and you know how you should react to it. I ain't gonna say I don't slip up and I don't let a whole habit here and there, but I'm a lot more in control of like, hey, you are mad right now, you need to go do this. Or I know how to deal with my triggers. I know how to deal with my red flags. I know how to turn those red flags into green flags, into eventual white flags where I just give up. So it's just like, it's just a flow of how to deal with emotions. And that's hard as an adult. That's hard as a man. That's on top of being a man, being a gay black man, and on top of that, just being in this world nowadays where we have so much bullshit going on.
And to that point, before we wrap up this Yana Van
Zandt okay, session, right. Y'all, we gonna get to the dicks. Hold on, the dicks is coming.
To that point, it's hard being a man, being a gay black man. It's also hard being those things when you were also raised to negate any emotion that you ever had, unless it benefited me as the parent. If you crying, what you crying for? Let me give you something to cry about. Like that type of stuff. Over time, it gets like embedded in you, and so you have to grow up and be an adult and be like, well, damn, okay, well, my parents really did not do me any favors. So I mean, am I just gonna keep blaming them, or am I gonna be a grown up and work my way out of it? You know what I'm saying?
It's hard. Like, that shit is hard. Emotions is, I hate,
what really she say? I'm on an emotional roller coaster. Loving you ain't nothing healthy. Loving you was never good for me. And I can't get off this Okay.
You feeling okay. You feeling it, Wolfgang?
Hey, Wolfgang. The third co-host of the show.
Okay, he be even back there chilling. You see, we got to lighten the mood now. He be in the back in his bed. That's his second bed. He just be back there chilling, listening to us talk about
it. If I were to ever get another dog, it would have to be smaller than Wolfgang.
Really? You want like a teacup, yeah. Something or another?
It got to be something I can find cute when I'm mad at it. Because a big-ass dog is going to piss me off.
He does a really good job. Like, when I'm like in a mood, like it's something about the way a dog like realizes you're like, okay. Like there's been times where I start crying and he'll be like, okay, bitch, what's wrong with you? I'm trying to go play. You sitting over here crying. He'll come up beside me, just lay on me. And it's just like, I read something about like dogs being like emotional regulators or some shit like that. And so
that's why people get them for emotional support animals.
I can totally see it. Like, cause he does a really good job of that. Like he does a really good job of like just making me calm. He like, I know we just got off the topic, but like when I was out here alone and all this shit, if it wasn't for Wolfgang, baby, I would have been gone. I would have been out the door. It would have been the boy next door. There ain't no Z, baby. So it just, I'm really grateful just to like that God moved blocks earlier on in my life that I didn't realize he was moving and putting in place for me to put me in a, like, benefit me later on, if that makes sense. So like I got him because I wanted him. I was like, I want a dog. And my friend was giving away a dog. I said, I'm just going to get a dog. And my mom was like, "You, how is this going to work? Like, you don't even, y'all, like, whatever." And so I got him anyway. I took my little check that I got from H&M, went and got my fucking dog. And that was, like, the best $250 I spent ever. Like, that was the best thing ever. Like, without him, I don't know. Like, I understand how people be dog people. I ain't crazy dog person like most people because he still get a whooping. He still be acting up. He still bad. He look cute.
Y'all heard that, PETA? Okay. ASPCA.
PETA, I'll whoop on y'all too if y'all do half the shit he do. But just know he gets it done. And so, but it's just like, he's a little sweetie. Okay, bye.
Wow. That is on camera. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. This is the Animal Abusers Next Door.
Cause we beat the pussy up. No, I guess we don't beat pussy up. I guess that's false advertising.
No. I'm Blackberry.
And I'm Kim Lush.
Follow us on Instagram at Boys Next Door Pod. Follow us on YouTube at Boys Next Door Pod, meaning subscribe. You can follow me on Instagram at Blackberry, where you can see my Renaissance costume. I also dressed up as a demon from like Doja Cat
Demons, but it was like
a cheap one, you know?
It looks good.
I saw other demons, and everybody was like, they
stop comparing yourself. Stop comparing
yourself.
No,
I was just like, their costumes are really good, but mine was cheap, and I didn't get to use it because we didn't go out on Halloween.
It don't matter. Your costume was bomb. I don't give a fuck about nobody else's shit. Fuck that shit. I liked your costume. I liked it. Oh. It was good.
Thanks.
You're welcome, bitch. And I'm Ken Lush.
I know it was a good costume. I'm just saying, like, there were better ones. Like, there's no
shame. I didn't see the better ones. I saw yours. Fuck this. So, I'm Ken Lush. KENLUSHH. _ Ken Lush on Twitter. I'll be posting new shit on Instagram pretty soon. I'm really just kind of, redirect what I want my Instagram page to actually look like and feel like and all this other shit. And I'm thinking about rebranding all that shit in general. And so... yeah, just stick with me. Make sure you follow, though. And I appreciate all the fucking shit y'all commenting on Instagram and all that shit. Y'all been really active lately, so thank y'all.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think we should just go ahead and jump into these topics, but, we forgot to do something.
Record.
Something very important.
Record?
No.
Oh.
The second most important thing.
Light the blunt.
I kept looking at it too
while we were talking earlier. Then we got kind of deep. We got on the couch, and I was like, "I'm focused."
Let's light the blunt. I'm gonna light my blunt to emotional well-being.
Ooh,
that's all I got to say.
I like that. And I'm lighting mine to getting some dick soon. Yay!
I think that would be a great idea. I love that for you.
Do you have any prospects?
No. And that's what I'm glad it's cuffing season, because now this is the perfect time to really audition niggas. See who fits the bill for like cuddle buddies and like make out friends and fuck buddies and shit like that. Like, it's kind of cold outside, so you really don't want to be outside. Like, I got a fireplace and shit like that. But oh, that's creative. Everyone's so creative. Oh, it's just like, oh. But I just want to assure this is, oh.
Gotta watch the show.
Yeah, you gotta tune in. Y'all been watching the YouTube a lot more too, and we've been getting tons of subscribers, so thank you for that. But, yeah, I really, there's a couple niggas I like or I'm feeling or I'm interested in and I'm trying to vibe with and just really just fill them out. But there's no, like, hard yeses that I would actually let fuck right now. So, I've just been being attacked by bottoms and living my life as a celibate black man in America in 2023.
So, since we're talking about it, I will admit to the people, because that is one of the things I manifested over this blunt some time ago to have some touch. I got my prostate touched, and it felt great.
You got your coochie scratched?
I'm trying to get my coochie scratched, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my coochie stretched, yeah.
Yeah.
You know them dreads do the best, yeah.
Yeah.
You can technically say that now. Technically, you could be like, I do it the best, you know? Sexy Red said, yep. It's done.
But that was cool.
You want to talk about it? Was it, like, any details?
No, I don't want to talk about it, but it was a 5 out of 5. So.
Perfect. That's all we need to know.
Well, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5. Because, you know me, I always got...
Yeah. A Midwest, thank you.
I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5, but let me tell you why it's going to get a 4 out of 5 versus a 5 out of 5. Because I was thinking, you know, I haven't had sex in 8 months, right? I was thinking I could just, you know, get back right in the groove. I use my toys. So I'm like, it's not like the pain is not like, you know, ridiculous. You know, I know what I'm doing. Sometimes you really got to exercise the muscle, because I felt very awkward in a couple of moments.
Skittle, you know? Hole. You got a little skittle hole.
No, baby. I know how to open up. My hole is a skittle hole, but I know how to make her I a don't Mayflower. Think it
is. You know, too late. You already negated it. It's not a skittle no more. That is a...
Listen, I like having my secretive Mayflower, you know? Because you don't know it's a Mayflower until it opens up.
So it's like a rosebud, technically? Because you don't know it'd be
no,
a rosebud.
No, it don't open up like a rosebud yet. but...
Yes. Put it away.
But it does. I'm not no weak bitch like you. I know how to open my asshole up and make it useful.
I want to make mine useful. I haven't found nobody to make it useful with yet. Like, there's one guy that I will let fuck. I ain't gonna lie. But his text back rate ain't where I need it to be. And so it'd be like weeks without communication. And I'd just be like, well... Okay.
Because I was about to say, is that fair? Because you text back really fast. So.
Exactly. So, bitch, I know you ain't put your phone down before I replied. So you should be able to reply back expeditiously. I know. The way I text and at the rate I text, there's no way you're not on Instagram and see my notification pop up. But he's type of nigga. He's busy. He's doing other shit. So I ain't mad at it. Trying to get your money. I ain't stopping you from getting your money. Nigga, stack your coin up, especially if you're trying to accomplish shit, so I ain't mad at it. But that's the only nigga that I would actually let fuck right now. But other than that, none. Fuck all niggas.
Niggas ain't shit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just...
Are you feeling cuffing season?
I'm just keeping my eyes open, but closed at the same time, you know?
One eye open.
You know how the door be open, but you got a screen door? Like, my screen door is closed, okay. But the door is cracked a little bit, you know?
You scanning niggas at the door. We gotta see what y'all about.
Yeah, whatever. But imagine if I married one of these niggas and then, you know, we was together for a long time and then this nigga just all of a sudden pop out with an OnlyFans. How am I supposed to react to that? What you think about being in a relationship and your man not telling you he got an OnlyFans? See, I just jumped right on up in that.
Yeah, you slid right on in that bitch. I honestly, I feel like it's one of those things where that's part of communication. anything you're not communicating to your partner is something that you're unsure about and that you feel like you should be hiding. Which means that more than likely in a relationship, you should not be doing it. Because if you have an understanding about who your partner is, you know what your partner do and do, does not like. And so if you're hiding it, that's automatically a violation. So my nigga, I don't think I would care if he had OnlyFans. I would care more so if he's doing like collaborations and all that shit and I didn't know about it. Like, you know, like those niggas be under mask and shit like that. Like, nigga, how you get over there and do all that? Like, I need to know the route. I need to know how you doing this fucking Spider-Man. How'd you get in from point A to B without letting me know? And so I just want to make sure, like, I'm all about communication. If you can't tell me shit, you should not be doing this shit. And I've been thinking lately, I'm just like, in my next relationship, let's say, because we were talking about bi guys or whatever, and I'm like, I really like bi guys. What if I'm dating a bi guy and he really wants to have sex with a woman? How would I feel about it? Like, how would I fit into that equation? And so then I automatically think back to the topic. It's just kind of like, how does the relationship fit into your OnlyFans? Like, are you telling people you're in a relationship? Like, how does this work? Is it like, I don't. How do you feel?
Well, first of all, let me tell you, I got this story from Keisha Chavez. Yeah. And, you know, she's married to... And freaky actually, you put me on to this. Yeah. But they've been talking about it all week on everything I listen to. So, join the club. Basically, I guess they having financial issues. And she was like, well, I know how to solve this. I'm going to put my cat on camera because I used to be a porn star. And I'm going to do it anyway. I'm doing it by myself. And I ain't really cheating on you. Even though she said he was cheating on her. Okay. So I got something to say to him next. But she, first of all, I thought the shit was fake. I thought it was a skit. I thought it was like two random people. Like, but she was on The Morning Hustle. With L'Oreal and
Headcracking. Yeah.
And shout out to L'Oreal. I really like L'Oreal. I want to meet her one day.
I like L'Oreal too. I like her voice a lot.
She got the like perfect voice.
Her and Mona. I like Mona's voice too. It's very just like I wish I had L'Oreal's a little more higher, but Mona has the raspiness I wish I had.
Yeah, but anyway, so she created the OnlyFans behind her husband's back. He didn't know about it. And so my thoughts are like, it's tricky. Because, like, let's say he was doing a solo OnlyFans and I found out about it. And my first thing would just be like, well, why you ain't just say nothing? Like, this is like, it's a little ridiculous for you to be hiding this. Like, I get why you would, because you might think that somebody might not be okay with that. But, like...
Right.
If this is a way you're making money, and this is obviously something that you have to put time into, so
it's a
like
job. When
I'm asking you what you're doing and you're saying nothing, but really you posing with your hole in the camera, like I feel like as your man, I should probably know that. You know what I'm saying? But like you said, are you collaborating with people? Because if you are, then we can just go ahead and wash our hands. You can get your plants and your toothbrush, and you can go. Okay, because I don't want nothing to do with this.
Or you could be his manager.
As his friend, sure.
Like,
I would never be friends with somebody who betrayed me like that. So we're done.
Yeah, that's ultimate betrayal. It's kind of like, okay, now wait a minute. But it's also kind of like, okay, if you are collaborating, how are you going about talking to these people? Like, how is it set up? Like, I know we keep saying we want to get an OnlyFans creator and shit like that on here, just so we can understand the dynamics of it. Because I don't want to ill speak of how those type of collaborations work. Because it may be a thing where, like, it's actually like in a business arrangement. Or it may be a thing where I've seen sometimes people just like, we were chatting, we just started doing shit and I put out my camera type shit. Like, it really just, I'm really interested in that aspect of it, because I feel like since he's so fucking broke and he's damn near poor and has blew through all their fucking money, him being her
allegedly
manager, that the least thing he could do is like support her in trying to make sure that they're financially okay. Like, you spent, I think it was, he had, after all of his basketball negotiations and whatever, I think he only had $16 million to his name.
Only 16? Is that what you said?
Yes.
So I read that he ran through $61 million and now he's working off his private coaching money.
See, and that's what I'm saying. He only has $16 million left. And so I'm like, you blew through $61 million.
Only is a strong word.
compared to what, bitch, you have to think about what most basketball players make in general a year. And especially like that type of shit, like you only have that left. Okay, Khalees, like get it together. It's just kind of like, I just want, like, it just started, it's certain type, I know, sorry. She called it Stray.
I was like, whoa.
But I like Khalees a lot. But I think it's kind of weird that she was going off on Beyonce about, like, not getting paid royalties, and she was stealing money from this man for years, and he wasn't getting paid off Bossy and Milkshake and all that shit. But that's another story for another day. Kind of weird. You know, I hate hypocrites and shit like that. It's very weird. But I just feel like you have to do what it takes to really just make sure that your family is functioning and flowing as you feel like is best fit for what makes your family work. And so I feel like if she feel like that's what she needs to do at this point, she's working there, and she's also working at, like, a supermarket or somewhere fucking else. The bitch has two jobs. Like, literally, she's like, on her feet all day. Bitch, I would go shake some ass on the pole, too, again. Like, at this point, like, I don't try to work down at the Kroger when my man a basketball player. That's embarrassing. Like, if your man is a basketball player and you fucking have to work down at the grocery store, what?
Could you imagine Jackie Christie working down to the Walmart?
I totally can, because she seemed like the old crazy old lady that works. I love Jackie Christie.
She do.
It's always
the crazy. Why she work at Walmart?
Yeah, is she the hair, the way the textures don't match, the fucking uncouth, like the overcoofiness but uncouthiness of it all. Like, it's just, she is the Walmart lady, and so I like 100%. So like, even like I can see her wearing fake brands and like trying to pass it off like it's real, like. Totally, like, so no. Like, I would be...
But
would
in
be
terms of where she is now, I could not see Jackie Christie working at Target, which to your point, is like, I get that. It's like, we got to pay the bills.
Exactly.
But you could have told me, and that's the problem. The problem is really not that you made an OnlyFans behind my back. The problem is, like, you made it behind my back. Like, you should have told me. You should have ran this by me. Because let's say I wasn't cool with it, and then I break up with you. Okay, well, you just removed one more person from your life who's stopping you from achieving your dreams of being the next big OnlyFans star, okay? You could have just told me that, babe.
Not America's now, next top OnlyFans star.
We could have collaborated together. And then the other problem I had with it was, why'd you bring this to the internet? Like, girl, this, you could have let this.
I wonder how he found out. Mm-hmm. I'm curious. Like, was one of his friends like watching it or came across it, and then he was like, "Well, let me tell you what I saw."
Like, is her face on it? Like, I don't even know what the OnlyFans look like.
I'm not purchasing. I do not want to see no old lady pussy. I do not want to see that shit. So I'm not buying it. But it just, what was that face for? You like old lady porn?
No, I don't. But
you fucking cashed out? No, I'm joking. Sorry.
No. Oh. Ah! No.
So you wouldn't fuck cashed off?
Occasionally, I run across like a stepmom, stepdad kind of porn, and
what's
I watch
that?
It
sounds like I see gray balls.
There's this one, where I don't know if it's her stepson or like, I think it's her stepson. Mm-hmm. Basically, she like messed up the car. And the son was like, "I won't tell dad if you give me some pussy." So basically, there's like one or two videos where they do
a power exchange
where he just like, "Give me that pussy or I'm telling dad," basically. And so
that's how I was jacking it. Like, that's technically blackmail.
That's blackmail and it's incest, but he be fucking shit out of her in that kitchen, and she be acting like she don't like it, but she be getting moist. I like the video.
I I'm here for a little Island Boys.
In summation, we need to communicate with our partners, because don't you just pop up with no OnlyFans, bitch, because that's wild to me. Imagine me just being like, oh, I'm going to work, and he think I work at Amazon, but really, I'm working down
you gonna
to
get the Tides,
shaking
out
my ass on somebody's table like a go-go boy. I feel like my man should know that. You know, like, if my man was a go-go dancer behind my back, I'd be like, that's so cool, but like, why didn't you tell me? Now we have a problem because you lie and you hide stuff. What else are you hiding?
Being a secret go-go dancer is insane. Like that is the most gay shit ever. We have to break up. Like, we have to break up. So you are a secret go-go dancer.
You took the G in LGBT too far.
Okay, that is, you have gone overboard, sir. That is too far. That's wild.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about today. How did we get into Google Answers? I don't know. What else do we want to talk? Oh, speaking of, like, you know, your partner having wild sex behind your back. What's your, like, on your sex location wish list? I think this is great. Because I have a few spots in mind right now.
Okay, so I still ain't did my balcony thing. I want to do my balcony. Mm-hmm. I really, okay, so everybody been mentioning, like, I would like to do it, like, somewhere public. Like, I want to be seen enough where it's not seen, but I want to be outside doing it. Like, it doesn't have to be around people, technically. But I want it to be very passionate, like you know, some, like, we're just outside and it just, like, happens. I think that would be so fucking hot. And it's and then, like, you drive home, like, with his nut in you still, and y'all just, like, laughing at the fact y'all just did it. I think that is so fucking hot. So,
I've done that, by the way. That is, like, the sluttiest, sexiest thing ever.
See, yeah, that's what I want. Like, it's stuff like that. I want to have, like, really just spontaneous sex. Like, I listened to a podcast, and a lady was, I ain't gonna say which one, but they were, like, she had sex on the beach, and she was, like, at first it was okay, and then it got uncomfortable, and then, like, they went inside and finished fucking. But I just want it to be, like, somewhere fun. Like, I'm in my fun boy era. Like, I really just want everything just to be, like, carefree and light and just, like, bring joy to me. So, like, I want to get fucked everywhere. I want to get fucked. I want to get fucked in the retail stores. I want to get you know, the fitting room, changing rooms. Like, you know, I love those.
That's a little too risky for me. I like watching that, but I
want to try it. Illinois. I like it. Is that a pita bread?
It's the lid to my candle. One of my candles.
Oh, okay, cool. But yeah, I feel like I'm too loud too. So that would be the part I'm kind of shaky on. So I'm like, at that point, would you stick your finger in my throat? Would you be choking me? Like, what would you do to? Because you know how passionate and loud I am. Like,
now I know how to control the sounds. I ain't a screamer. Are you a screamer?
Like, what do you mean by screamer? No, what do you mean by screamer? White girl. No. I'm a moaner, but I'm a moaner. Like, I'm a
lady moaner?
I'm a verbal moaner. Like, I don't really feel like doing it because I'm tired, but, like, oh, fuck me. And, like, Or, like, I talk really nasty. Sometimes I give directions. Like, I'm really, I like to feel slutty in the most sluttiest way possible. So, anyway, when I'm fucking, that's what I plan on getting. And I don't mind directing you to give me that experience. When I was having sex back in 1903.
First of all, I'm not a screamer, but I like to let the sounds go. Because, like, you know, it is what it is. And I got good walls up in here, so I feel like I can get a little louder. You know what I'm saying? But
Okay, Tarzan.
What was the question? Oh, okay. I want to fuck on...
I want to fuck on
the top floor of my garage, my parking garage.
Oh,
fire space to do it. I've jacked off up there. It's
Is that where the rain video was, right?
Yeah.
That place has a lot of meaning to you.
That's where I shot my Renaissance video, my costume video, right there. That's a good spot.
I was wondering where you were. It didn't even click that you were all the same place.
It's all the same place.
We love our recycling king. You're very environmental friendly.
So I want to do that. I haven't had car sex since I was like 20. Oh. I would like to try that again.
Yeah,
let's give it a go.
I feel like I'm more flexible now too, so I'll really be able to get into it.
I really want to have sex at a stairwell, like even if it's the stairwell in my building or like my stairwell at my job, like a stairwell.
That's hot.
yeah,
I like the echoing sound from the pounding in those videos.
Yeah, then it's like somebody can catch us at any moment.
Oh my God, they caught us. They caught me being a slut with a dick up my butt.
I want to have sex while cruising, even though I don't plan on ever going cruising ever again. It's not my thing anymore. But if I do go cruising again, I want to have sex while cruising. with somebody I know, not a stranger. And no shade to people who have sex with strangers. I saw one of the 519,000 loads. I saw one of his videos. I was like, oh, this is kind of hot.
Was it the one who was pushing him out? Or was it the one with two guys?
I don't know. It was one guy in the video fucking him. He was on the bed. I saw his face. His face was in his video.
Where else do I want to have ID sex? For the slander.
I want to have sex on my kitchen counter. Never done that.
Oh my God, yes. That's hot. I haven't either. I haven't had sex nowhere but a bed, couch, floor, car.
Yeah, the basics, you know?
The basics. We're vanilla sex locator fuckers.
We're vanilla as fuck, low key, as much shit as we talk. Where else would I like to have sex? Okay. Maybe at work.
At work?
Yeah.
Like on a counter?
No, like in a bathroom or like I said, the stairwell.
I want to have sex at my job too, real bad.
Parking garage.
Yes. I like sex in general. I feel like I'll take it wherever I get it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I kind of want to do it in the movie theater too.
That's hot. I wonder, like, I'm curious about how that would go. Like, would you be riding? Would you be throwing it back? Recline.
Depending on the movie theater, like, you get a reclining seat or not. But I'm assuming you would find, like, the least popular movie or the one that's been in the theaters the longest, where it's less likely that people would actually even come see this fucking movie. And then you go to the last row, you get it popping. That's how I be seeing it in the porn, so.
Yeah, that's how I be seeing it in the porn, too. I'm just more, like, I guess I wouldn't be able to moan in there either.
Yeah, but your immediate sex offender list. So it's like.
Oh. So you have to keep, like, your clothes on.
Yeah, because it's kids in a theater, you know what I'm saying? Hopefully, I mean, not in that theater, but, like, they come into the movies. It's a family place. You're going to jail.
Yeah, you're locked up. Damn.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I'm sure that's there are so other. That's all I could think of right now. I'm a voyeur, but I'm also like an exhibitionist too. So I'm a little bit of both. I want to have sex anywhere where like people are watching me, but they're not interacting. Like you just have to watch me like it's a show, like a play, you know?
Like a museum.
Yeah, like, you know, like pieces of art moving in motion.
Can you imagine that? Like you're like having sex and people just come like walk by and they're just like, and then they sit down and they fold their legs like kind of like at the Museum of Contemporary Art or some shit, like, this is so peculiar. And then that's they just hard. Walk off.
That happens like when I've gone cruising, like I just like people to watch.
I just always imagine cruising being like that Phaedra gif. Like I just always see that whenever I see, like, I just see people, and I just see people like walking by, like I just imagine like people just walking by like gazing for a little bit, like and it's like just strolling away. Yeah. It's like, wow, I wonder what they thought about that. Or like, I wonder if they're doing okay. Like my brain would just be like, I wonder why they just did that. Are they coming back to stab me? Like I was just like, it's just like, I don't know. My brain would just like, I wouldn't be built for it.
Ooh. I'm not yawning because I'm sleepy. I'm yawning because that marijuana is very strong. And it's not the sexy kind. It's the sleepy kind.
Yeah, you just made me yawn too.
Let's go ahead and move into Ask the Boys. We have
question,
a update this week, an update this week from Alex. Y'all know Alex is our friend who's been telling us about his dating life. Alex says the title of this email is The Updater because this is his like second or third update. He said, hey, it's Alex again. Just a little update. I'm talking to this new guy, and I'm taking it slow, like you guys said. But if you're wondering, he is a bit older than me, and he's also a bit taller. He's so fine, and I know I lost you guys with the white guy, but this guy is black and sexy, and he is just the sweetest person ever. But anyway, that's all the love. That's all love, The Updater, Alex.
Aww. One thing stood out to me that I really like that you put in there. I like that you put that he's the sweetest person. Because I feel like that's such like an underrated characteristic in people that we choose to deal with. Are they sweet people? Are they kind people? Are they nice people? I feel like we often look for all these other like qualifications, but we leave off sweetness and kindness. And so the fact he said that makes me happy. He's a bit older, so I don't know what you mean by older now. But
now, how old was Alex? Alex said he was 20, right?
Either 20 or 21.
I'm going to go look while we're talking about it. But yeah, depending on how older, you know, because, you know, I like somebody, ideally, I like somebody who would be like my age or older.
Right.
But also, like, if you're 20 dating a 40-year-old, I mean, do you? That's your business. But I'm looking at the 40-year-old with a
side eye. That's two different positions in life.
Yeah.
It's one of those things where, like, I always think about Graylin and the fact, like, he's like
R. Like, Kelly Jr., the gay R. Kelly.
Gay R. Kelly. I always think about him. And it's just like,
that's not funny.
It's not. It's totally wrong. This is shame. But I always think about him, and I'm always thinking about the fact of, like, he's an older guy. He gets these younger boys and, like, makes them fall in love. And
grooms,
like,
them completely. It's the grooming for me.
It's the grooming. And it's like,
Allegedly.
We're going to put allegedly on it. It's like, there is no care. It's all selfish. It's all like an ego-driven thing. Like, and that's where I think my problem comes in with him in general. It's such, it doesn't come off sincere. It comes off like he needs to go to therapy for a little bit. It comes off like incorrect. I hope this guy, I don't know how old he is compared to you. I hope he's using his sweetness to make you feel good and not to make you make him feel bad.
To manipulate him, essentially.
Yes. So, you know, that's just me being cautious auntie out here.
This is your aunties talking, you know.
Because we done been through some things.
It's cute when you're younger. You know, when I was 16, I was dating like a 24-year-old. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The first penis I had in my mouth was a grown man, and I was 16, and he knew I was 16. And so, just coming from that place, it's like, oh, you think it's cute when you're younger, but when you get older and you realize, like,
you look back on that. You look back on it. Oh.
You're like, oh, this was a strange person.
I should have been in that position. And you know me, I always say, look, when I'm fucking, it's 19 to 25. I only date 25 and up. Like, 25 and up, I feel like that is a good roundabout place, like, for you to be stable in your thinking enough. Cause I remember how I was at 25. 25 is when I had my great awakening of life.
So yes.
Like, at 25, I was kind of like, I don't know shit about nothing. A couple years later, now I'm kind of like, I still didn't know shit about nothing, but I'm learning a little more. But I feel like that's how life should feel. I feel like you should always feel like I know a little bit more. But I feel like at 25, as a man, that's when you should be at a place where you could actually understand what dating is, what dating is about, what you put into dating. I feel like by then, as a man, hopefully, there are, and I ain't gonna say all men, because there are some old-ass men out here still moving like they 12. You never really fucking know, honestly. Fucking know, because people.
I hope I didn't taint your sweet vision of this guy. We just talked about men in general, not this guy.
Yeah, we're not even talking about him, because, like you said, like, that. But I think this, like, we're taking it to, like, me personally, I'm taking it to a level of just people in general, not about you.
Back on, like, the older guy's tip is, like, I sound like Obama just then. The older guys thing is just, like, what I notice from older guys who specifically go after younger people, is that they want somebody they can control and groom, versus just like, oh, you know, I ran into this 22-year-old at a club.
It happened. Blah, blah, blah.
It happened, and he's a good person, and I kind of want to date him. Versus, like, I'm going to the teenage clubs, and I'm picking out these 18, 19-year-olds. I'm making them tap my name on their face, and then I'm dogging them out.
It's, you know, weird. It's like the intent. Everything is about intent, purpose, what's going on, where you're at. You have to, I know I mention this all the time when I do light the blunt, I feel like you have to be very intentful with everything that you do. Everything has to have intent. And I know, like, I always credit you for making me think about that aspect of it, but everything has to have intent now. Like, I feel like after 25, You're only getting fucking older. You're only getting fucking older every year of your life. But for, like, for me, when I turned 25, that was when it really started clicking, like, oh, I'm getting older. I really got to start putting some shit in motion. And, like, sometimes I always think about, like, this is totally, like, off field, but same thing. Like, I always think about the podcast, and I'm always just kind of like, if I had done this earlier, if I had started this earlier, blah, 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 blah. But then I also think about, I wouldn't have the wisdom that I have now if I did, if I started any earlier. I would just have more blunders. I would just have, like, more fucking, the shit I would have said on here. And so it's just kind of like, I'm grateful for where I'm at now and starting this journey now. So
I'm looking at you funny now because y'all don't know this, but I did ask him to be on this podcast some years ago, and he told me no. So
yeah. And the thing is, like, I don't think we ever discussed this on the podcast, but I said no because at that time I was completely consumed in my relationship. My relationship was me. I was my relationship. It was just kind of like, it was like I was in a bubble of life that I personally wasn't in a space where I felt like I wanted to talk about anything but other than my boyfriend. Like, I wanted to be boyfriend, like, and that, I feel like that's not interesting. I feel like nobody wants to sit on here and talk about their boyfriend all day. I didn't have anything bad to say. It was just kind of like, I wasn't in a place where I feel like I can be as vulnerable and open as I am now. Like, and I was so grateful, like, when he originally asked me to do the podcast, I was grateful that when the time came back, it was still open. And it was just like, everything just felt, everything came together as it should have in the time that it should, without, like, shadow of a doubt.
And in fairness, what you did say to me, you was like, I don't want to, like, do something I'm not ready to commit to. And I couldn't even be mad at that. But I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that you turned me down.
Oh, my God. But I'm here now. I'm a tourist. We always show up. We may be a little late, but we always show up to the party. And we bring a good time.
But, Alex, I also want to say I love that you're just, like, not giving up. Because unless I break my heart, I'm wrapping this shit up for about 3-4 years. Y'all ain't gonna see me outside nowhere. But I like
Alex, I wonder what's your sign. I wonder what's his sign. Has he said that?
He's 20. He did tell us he's 20. I went and saw, but I don't think we know his sign. So if you want to update us again, you can just DM us. You don't have to write a whole thing.
Okay, yeah.
But if you want to, it's okay too.
Yeah, that's okay. Because I feel like I'm that way too. I'm very just like, I'm like, I don't give up on love. I'm just like, it's gonna work out. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. But now I'm just kind of in this state, like, for the first time ever in my life, which I feel like is also a test to, like, growth and being out here. I'm kind of, like, not thirsty for a relationship. I ain't gonna lie. I do want a little man here and there. But I'm not thirsty. I'm not, like, craving for it. Like, I'm not, like, I was the person that was scaring the hoes. I was, like, first date, you my man or you not my man? Let me club you over the head and drag you to the cave. And I feel like, now I'm kind of like a position where I kind of just want, I want a slow burn. I just want everything just to make sense at its own pace. I don't want to rush into anything. I kind of want to have fun. I know I say this, it's my fun boy era. I just want to have fun with whoever I'm dating, and I want it to just naturally happen.
I want to have fun too, but I also don't want no niggas irritating me, because I'll be ready to shut shit down. We can shut the door, shut the shop down, block the numbers, go back into hibernation. Like, I've been fine. I just saw a TikTok of this old lady. This is one of my favorite old ladies on TikTok. She's been single for 22 years, all her family dead, and she's alive and thriving, and she's TikTok famous. I'm gonna be her if everybody keeps playing with me, okay?
I don't know. I feel like you'll get a man sooner or later. I feel like each year you're creeping closer to it. I thought it was gonna be October this year. That's what I bet my money on. It didn't happen. We were close with no cigar. But next year, I feel like it's going to happen for you. I feel like...
But why would you think that? I didn't even tell you. I was, like, talking to nobody. Like, there was nothing going on prior to October for me to even...
I don't know. I just had a feeling. I'm kind of clairvoyant sometimes. Sometimes my predictions hit. Sometimes they don't. This was okay.
Miss Cleo. Okay.
Bitch, you... Allow me to manifest love in your life, you cold-hearted bitch. I can do that for you.
I'm not cold-hearted. My heart is just, you know... She's lazy.
Beat up.
She's beat up, but she's also just like, oh, we don't really have to do it, you know. Well, that's not my heart. That's my brain. My heart is like, she kind of want it, but my brain is like, girl, be fucking for real.
Do you feel like you're anti, like, relationship because you've been conditioned just to be that way? And now you're like trying to uncondition yourself to be like, okay, I guess it ain't that bad of a thought.
Sure. Like, yeah, I'm not anti-relationship. I don't know if I ever have been anti. Well, I have been, you know, right after heartbreaks. But it's like, I'm not anti-relationship. I'm just like, that thing we was talking about earlier, like just trying to be where I am right now. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard when you like somebody, even just a little bit, and they irritate you, and it's like, ooh, I want to go back into my shell so bad.
See, I really wish I was like that. Because I'm one of the people, I like, if let's say like somebody irritate me, I kind of just be like, well, you know what? They're probably having a day. It's okay. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, sometimes they're not having a day. Sometimes they're really just being a dickhead. And my brain doesn't know how to really calculate that properly still. I guess that's something that hopefully with age.
And my brain is like, if you have it a day, you can have 7 more because you will never hear from me again.
See, I wish I was like that. And I'm really not. I'd be like, I know we're going to focus on this one day and we're going to make it work so tomorrow's a little better. But maybe that's got PTSD from my ex. So who knows?
I don't think that's a bad way to be, though, because it's just going to make it easier for you when you do get in a relationship because you know how to, you know, allow somebody to have a moment, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
For me, it's like, if you have it a, I was about to say, if you have it a moment with me, I feel like, if you hate me, just say that. Because I didn't do nothing to you.
Rich, you are such a victim. Rich, could you be...
I'm taking it to the extreme. Right? Like, what did I stab your mother? Like, why are you treating me this way?
It's very innocent, but little me.
I will say, I am learning my way out of that. It's not always the other person's fault. But I be right most of the time. I will say that. I'm not even trying to be funny. I be right.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you something I was right about when we get up off of here. And you're going to be like, duh, of course, because you're always right.
Is receiving appreciation treatment in beginning a relationship too much, or is being
spoiled? Is that what you want to talk about? Before we get out of here, let's talk about it.
No, I don't. I was just taking the attention off that shit because I didn't want to talk about nobody being. I don't want to talk about lies, Tasha K.
Well, we could talk about princess treatment briefly if you want to. Do you care?
Do you want to talk about Cobra?
Let's talk about that. I care more about that. Okay. You know, Megan is a lovely woman, and I was a little conflicted with the song because I was like, damn, she's saying some real shit, but also it's like, I want to get up and twerk. It was kind of like, you know how you do gospel music and sometimes
songs
so
good. My pussy depressed. I was like, yeah, I was like, I was like crying one second.
I don't know
how like,
to feel.
You know, it's like crying in the club. Like, I'm feeling it, but I'm just like, I don't know.
But I do know how to feel. I totally relate to those lyrics when she was just like, I feel like that song has such Aquarius energy. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, obviously,
we're crying,
it's relatable.
We're crying, but we're smiling through the tears, baby.
Smiling through the tears, and we're like making light of it, but we being dead ass at the same time.
Yeah, 100%.
It's like, I don't really want you like that deep, you know, in my emotional space like that. But like, this is actually what I'm going through, and I appreciate her being vulnerable. Everybody wants to talk 100%. About some, oh, Megan only talks about shaking her ass, and these female rappers, they don't have nothing else to rap about. And then I'm seeing she's getting a lot of pushback, and it's like, but y'all wanted rappers to rap about something else, and she's giving y'all something else, and y'all don't like it, so I don't understand.
And that's where my problem always comes in. The criticism is always, she only makes the same type of music. She makes something else different, and y'all criticize it for not being the same type of music, or y'all not be able to do the same type of shit that y'all would to her normal type of music. What do you want? Like, I heard like people complain about this isn't on a chart, blah, blah, blah. Well, right now,
so
it's number one on iTunes. I mean, it's not number one on iTunes. It's number one on YouTube for like 24 hours or whatever that fucking shit is.
Oh,
and
okay.
It's number 10 on the iTunes chart. So, I mean, like, it's doing what it needs to do, and it's only been like one day. You never know how to, like...
And she's, like, independent now. So, it's like, those are large accomplishments for an independent artist.
And that's hard. Like, she did that... Like, all that is her shit. Like, she did all that shit. And I feel like the song is great. I feel like that's the most vulnerable song she's ever done. Like, even compared to most of the shit on NDA, which was a very vulnerable album to me. But I feel like this is her most, like, her most vulnerable piece she's released. Everything she said was a true statement. She dropped that bomb about catching Party, getting head in the bed. He would have been dead.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. But it's just certain shit like that. Like, she, like, and I feel like even, like, without being shot, I feel like, well, I don't mean it like that. But even without, like, us, any of us or the listeners having been shot, the fact she's talking about, like, sometimes you are going through shit and you're drinking through it. Sometimes you're going through shit and you have to dance through it. Sometimes you're going through shit and you really just have to push on through it. That is some real shit.
You gotta roll a blunt through it.
Okay, you gotta smoke. Like, you legit have to pop a perk through it. Like, pills and potions. Like you have to do what you have to do.
Leave my sister out of this.
I didn't put her in it, but that's what it is. Like, you're drinking and you're taking pills. Pills and potions. Like, So it's just like, exactly. And so, I just, like, that's what it is. And so, it's like, you're going through shit and you're really trying to balance it all. And you're trying to make a way through it all. And I feel like the whole, like, shedding your skin and all that shit like that. The song, I didn't add it to my playlist. I ain't gonna lie. Oh, the Boy Tunes playlist is up on Apple Music. If you have Apple Music, it is up. Just search Boy Tunes. BOYTUNEZ. It's by me, Ken Lush. But
I'm gonna update the Spotify one, too. And I'm gonna put this song on there.
Yeah, so but I didn't add it to my actual, like, music catalog playlist because
it's not something you can just ride to and just turn up to, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, I know you, and I already know you don't like them kind of songs anyway.
Yeah, I like, not all the time. Like, I have to be, like, really, like, that's when I know I'm at my lowest is when I turn on that type of song. I know I am down and out and bitch, it ain't no getting up. I can turn up the sad song. I ain't trying to turn up right now. But it's definitely just one of the more somber, real songs, like, yeah.
First of all, you already know. I wake up singing Adele. Never mind, I'll find someone like you.
Wake up crying,
you.
Go to sleep crying.
No, I don't be crying. I be in a great mood listening to a lot of them sad songs. They good songs. But back to Megan, I just feel like, you know, it's a song with a message, and that's what I like about it most. But obviously, this is not really something you just put on. Well, I'm probably just gonna put it on because that's just me, but it's not one of them songs, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So maybe that's what people was like, but it's also like, y'all, it's not the summertime. Like, this is a perfect time of the year to release a song like this.
Perfect. Like, I want to see the mixes people do to it. I want to see how people tweak the song. I'm very interested in that part. I know they're gonna be like remixed. I can, like, that's an easy song to take certain parts from the sample and do shit with. But I'm also like, I'm curious to know if this is the launch of her new era or if this is just a promo single. Like, I'm like, is this, like, she didn't mention it being like a promo single. She didn't mention it being like a first.
Well, she called it Act One.
See, okay, so I don't know what that means, because, you know, some people release acts and then you waiting for parts of the acts and the acts never come around. You just gotta imagine the acts and stuff.
Beyonce, bitch, let me tell you something.
Uh oh. Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun.
Beyonce, if we don't get them visuals by the end of the year, you're going down, baby, buddy. You're going down.
Oh my God.
I want the visuals.
We talked about her eating ass in the beginning. We talked about her going down in the end. Woo! Beyonce,
your ass is grass if we don't get them visuals. Now, I cannot wait till the movie comes out. It's very close. So I'm thinking in my brain that she's going to give us the visuals either before or after the film, which means we can get the visuals like Black Friday, or we can get the visuals like on December, like 8th. On second thought, drop the visuals now or wait till next year, because if you interfere with Nicki's release, Beyonce, you're going down again.
Oh, I didn't think about that. Oh, can you? Oh, no, she wouldn't do that.
Uh-oh. Oh, she would. She don't give a fuck. She dropped her album at the same time as Chloe.
Oh my God. Oh, she did.
No, she did. I just made that up. But she don't give a fuck.
But I thought it was around the same time.
I think it was like something going on.
Something blocked it. Yeah, something
happened
it.
Around that time.
Yeah, yeah. I remember everybody talking about them together somehow, some way. Anyway, yeah. Oh, how do you feel about Nicki pushing this album back? Are you afraid?
No, I think it was a good idea. I think it's good promo to push the album back. Why? I think album pushbacks are a part of the rollout. People want it more. Now, okay. She push it back again, it's like, all right, you pushing it.
Now yeah, you're really pushing it.
Yeah, because now, bitch, you're interfering into Rihanna's time, bitch. Yeah, you don't want those like, problems.
I think... I don't know if they do it on purpose, but I think it works in a lot of artists' favor to, like, promote an album and push it back because it kind of gauges, like, you know, how much your the fans care about your album.
Yeah, That's a common PR tactic as well, just to gauge the temperature and build anticipation for it. Like, they'll tease something, and they're like, oh, well, never mind. It's just, I'll just mention it, blah, blah, blah. And they, a lot of companies and a lot of brands put out fake tweets just to see the engagement that it'll get in order to go back to corporate and HR and whatever, headquarters, not HR, and see what exactly they should do and which direction they should go in.
By the way, did you see Sherry's Halloween episode?
When she did the Beyonce tribute?
Mm-hmm. Of course I've seen
clips of it somewhere. I was watching something. It was good.
You know, sometimes I sit down and I watch Sherry. I watched the whole episode. I like Sherry. You know, I like my brand. Daytime TV. She needs an Emmy for that episode. It was so well produced. She had Mama Tina on there.
I heard. Oh, that's why I was. And Mama Tina was spilling all the dirt.
By the way,
she said Beyonce.
We already knew Beyonce was mean backstage. She showed us in her own documentaries how she be talking to people. So that's not. Yeah, well,
she be going off, and I believe in it. In it, but she was like, I mean, if it Beyonce, I'll be mean too. Bitch, move out my way. Like, I'll be telling everybody.
Move out their way.
Ha. Yeah, I'll be letting bitches have it. So it just be like, yeah, I'm Beyonce, bitch. What you gonna do? Tell me no. Kill her.
One of my favorite Beyonce moments is when she was like, they couldn't get the colors right on her stage, and she was like, I said that yesterday.
When she's at the production booth and she has her hair down and it's curly and it's like floofy, uh-huh. And she's looking, yeah, she's so I. Okay, so y'all know I'm like a huge Beyonce fan, out of this world, right? And I Fake really news. Like, I really enjoy catty, diva, bitchy Beyonce. That's my favorite brand of Beyonce. Like, I like those clips when she's just like, no. And she's like standing up for herself and being dominant, because I feel like she's so, like, I don't want to use perfect because nobody's perfect, but she's so together.
The persona is so.
Yeah, persona is so together. And so seeing those little moments where it's just like, oh, Beyonce be pissed off just like me. I really like those moments. Like, I feel like that's why Lemonade is my favorite Beyonce album, because it was just so, like, at the core, just like, bitch, I'm mad, I'm letting you have it here. And I didn't like Lemonade at first, because it was just like, whatever. But then
too many ballots.
Yeah, it was just a lot going on, and I was just kind of like, Then one day I got really, really high, and I listened to it, and I was just and I was like, okay, I'm gonna give it another whirl. The next day, I got in my car, gave it another whirl. I said, okay, girl, you was on to something. Like, and it just like everything just hits and connects different. So I like that she told the world what I wish I saw more of. I want bitchy Beyonce, just like I want Rihanna to come out and just be like total like. Boss bitch billionaire, you ain't seeing this even with your eyes closed, Rihanna. But we're gonna get Island Gal.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode.
I like that Cardi B song too.
I like it because it's a joke.
Yeah. So and why was she wearing that? Weird, tacky.
I like a lot of Cardi B old stuff. What's my favorite Cardi B song from that first mixtape?
Gangsta Bitch Volume 1.
Is way better than Gangsta Bitch Volume 2, by the way.
Way better.
But Gangsta Bitch Volume 2, that was like, okay, she's...
It had some bots on there.
Producers, you know.
And that's why I think I like Invasion of Privacy. It was a good mix. It was like... Anyway, what were you about to say? You were ending the show, right? No time. I forgot. We can't praise all rappers here.
No, it's just like, I didn't... Invasion of Privacy, for me, is like a... 2.5 out of 5 just for me, but I like it just because it didn't. I, you know,
Invasion of Privacy is like a 5 out of 5 for me.
Get Up 10, like that carries the whole album for me.
Like everything, like I love the flow. That is like what
whoever wrote it ate it. That's all I'm saying.
and I think like Cardi performed it better than anybody else would be able to.
But what's my song off that first mixtape? I like the one Ran Down on That Bitch. I like that one. But what's
Ran Down on That Bitch Twice.
Oh, I cannot think of that song.
For me, we gonna be forever.
I'm gonna add it to the Boy Tunes playlist, and y'all don't know which one I'm talking about. But thank y'all. Yeah. Make sure y'all follow us on Instagram at Boys Next Door Pod. Follow me at Blackberry. You can also subscribe to the YouTube at Boys Next Door Pod. You can find our playlist on Spotify and iTunes at Boy Tunes. I guess you just search that up. I'll put the link down in the description box below.
I will.
What else you got going on?
And I'm Ken Lush. There's nothing going on with me. I have nothing new coming on. I'm sleepy as fuck, and I can't wait till we're done recording so I can take a quick little nap and hopefully go get some dick this weekend.
I can't wait to smoke.
Oh, love it.
Allegedly, I don't smoke if my job is listening to this. Thank y'all so much. Bye.
Say, baby, I love you. Say, baby, I love you.